Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.
Hi, everyone. This is Father Connolly.
And I'm Alexandra Sullivan.
And you're listening to Raising Saints, Helping Kids Hear God's Voice.
We're going to take your kids' questions on God, the faith, and the church, and see if we can answer them.
So that all of us, all together, can grow in our faith. Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
God, thank you so much for all of the blessings which you have bestowed upon us, especially the gift of our faith. We're so grateful to you, God, for this wonderful gift which you freely give us, and we ask you to help us to nurture it, to develop it, to grow in it. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hi, Father Connolly.
Hi, Alexandra.
How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. How are you?
That's a good answer. I am also the same.
Yes, you are.
No. I'm excited for our fourth episode.
Me too.
And we're going to ask questions all about faith, I guess.
Yeah.
Or all themed about faith. And we'd like to start with a question from a girl in second grade faith formation class. So it is her communion year. And she's come up with a question asking about faith formation. I will play that, and let's talk about it.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I have a question. When did CCD start?
Okay, did you hear Grace's question?
I did. Amazing Grace, that was an amazing question. Thanks for that. When did CCD start? A long time ago.
A long time ago. Which actually, let's be honest, we didn't actually know when it started.
Nope.
We had to research this for you, Grace.
Thank goodness there's Google, huh? But listen, you know, we know that for centuries, really ever since Jesus came and was incarnate among us and lived among us and taught us and all, the things which we profess to believe in faith are important for us to also understand as best we can. We know that we can't perfectly understand God and all his revelation, but we can sure do our best, can't we? So we always want to learn more and more about those things which we say we believe. And that's really where CCD comes from, that for centuries we've been trying to study and to learn more about the things we profess in our creed. And apparently, this was also very important to some folks in Milan, in Italy, in the mid-16th century, in the mid-1500s.
So years, 500, 600 years ago now,
yeah,
right?
A lot of years.
Yeah, a lot of years ago.
So this group came together under the direction of the abbot Castellino da Castello. He got this group together to start Sunday schools, to teach about the faith. And it really took off. They were joined by so many people, both priests and lay people, to teach both children and adults about the things that we profess to believe in. So great did this effort become, it sort of split then into two groups. The priest group, all the clergy got together, and they were called the Fathers of Christian Doctrine. And the lay people involved in all this became another group, and they were known as the Confraternity of Christian Doctrine. That's where we get CCD from.
Mm-hmm.
So though we also call it faith formation and religious education, the school of religion, we also call it CCD, and that's the Confraternity of Christian Doctrine, which came out of this great movement in Milan in the mid 1500s. Why is this so important? Well, it's important because in order to grow in our faith, it's really great for us to understand it better. So right. We strive to learn more and more so that we might grow in our faith, which Mrs. Sullivan, that leads us to our next question.
It does lead us to our next question, which is a really kind of deep question from 6-year-old Marcello. And Marcello's from Pennsylvania, and he wants to know where faith comes from. So let's play his question.
How does faith develop in people?
Father Connolly, I think that's a really deep question from a six-year-old. I have a six-year-old. I don't think he's asking me how faith develops. But I'm glad that Marcelo called with this question.
Yeah. Well, he is playing mass, to be fair.
That's true. No, that's the three-year-old.
Ah, yes, of course. Of course. So give him time. He'll start asking you those
he'll
questions.
He'll start asking.
But Marcelo, that's a great question. How does faith develop in people? As we've said, right, it's a gift. It's ultimately, faith is a gift from God that he gives us. We can't go looking for it. We can't shop for it, bargain for it, look on eBay, you know, how about some faith? Well, no, that's it's a gift from God. Now, how does it develop? We receive a lot of gifts, don't we? And if we just put them off to the side somewhere, we're not going to have a lot of fun with them.
No, right? Forget about them. Birthday gifts get lost on the shelf, dusty, left alone, cluttering the attic. Then mom purges and gets rid of it.
Right. So this gift that we receive, this gift of faith, is something that takes a little bit of work on our part. At first, you know, we receive it through someone else, namely our parents, right? That when we're baptized, you know, who's usually baptized? Well, of course, there are adults and older kids being baptized all the time, but most of the people who are baptized are little babies, right?
Yeah.
And would you ever walk up to a little baby and say, you know, we don't in the church then go up to the little baby and say, hi, little baby, how would you like to be baptized today? Have you prayed and thought about becoming a Catholic and
No, the parents make that decision, right? That would be strange.
It'd be a little ridiculous. And in fact, if the baby turned to me and said, why, yes, Father, after reading the Summa Theologiae of Thomas Aquinas, I'd probably go running for the hills. No, so we receive this gift of faith through someone, you know, on our behalf, our parents, most of, you know, namely our parents, our godparents, our families. God gives us this faith in our baptism most often. In fact, there's a really cool Latin phrase that you can use to impress your friends in school, Marcelo, that our baptism, it is the Janua Vitae Spiritualis, right?
Janua
Vitae Spiritualis.
Spiritualis.
The door to the spiritual life that think of the word January, right? It's the first month of the year. It's the door to the new year is opened in January. That's where we get this word. We get the word January from the Latin Janua for door. And that's what our baptism is. It's the Janua Vitae Spiritualis, the door to the spiritual life. That spiritual life is a life of faith. It's a lifelong thing. So even though we might receive it through someone at first, through our parents, our godparents, acting on our behalf, something that it needs nurturing, it needs cultivation. And that's where those parents and godparents come in. Alexandra, I know you do such a great job, you and John, with your kids, and you know that you're the first teachers of the faith.
Right. And it's more of a modeling behavior as well. So showing them what we do, explaining why we do it. It's less about teaching all the rules and more so just living it, which has been really helpful, but also teaching them about their faith as well.
Yeah.
Which is why we do CCD. Well, we don't because we're at the Catholic school, but that's why we enroll our children in CCD, to go back to Grace's question.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So this development of faith, then it's learning. It's learning information. It's learning from example. Ultimately, though, Marcelo, it's about a relationship with God. God loves us so much, and not just in some abstract way, not just as a group, right? You know, I could tell you, I love Reese's peanut butter cups.
Do you?
Yes, I do. And let's just say Lent is certainly penitential when it comes to that. No. So I love Reese's peanut butter cups. Now, I wouldn't pick up one Reese's cup and say,
that's it.
I love this. No, that's kind of odd, right? I might love it insofar as, you know, I'm about to enjoy it, right? Mm-hmm. But no, it's a group of things that I would say, if I love it, you know, yes, I love this group of things that, mm-hmm. you know, it's my favorite candy, or, you know, hint for after Easter.
Anybody listening?
But no, I wouldn't pick up one individual thing and say, you know, there's something special about this Reese's cup that I have a relationship with it. No, call the men in white coats to come in and take me away, because that's really
that's
weird.
That's really weird, yes. Yeah.
But God loves, yes, he loves all of us together, you know, as a group, the group being his mm-hmm. children, his people, his chosen people. But he loves each and every one of us.
Right. Like a son and daughter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Individually.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at me and he says, this one is special. I love him. He's
You're
my
very
son.
Special.
Oh, thank you so much. But really, you know, and that's for each and every one of us. He looks and he says, Alexandra, you're my daughter. I love you.
Right.
And
Marcelo,
God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. Individually.
Right. And he likes the way that you eat your breakfast and tie your shoes and all the little things that make you special.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the relationship we're talking about. That, yes, as a people, we have a relationship with him. If we didn't, then there wouldn't be any point to, you know, to church, really. Because mm-hmm. we, as a church, are God's people. And he loves his people. And he calls his people as a whole into a relationship with him. But also each of us individually is called into this incredibly special relationship with God. That's what we're working on in our life of faith. Mm-hmm. You know, we pray that God will help us to develop our faith, to believe in him, to hold him in the center of our lives, to for when times get tough, but also even when we're just super joyful and we want to share that with him, to keep him really number one in our lives because of our faith in him. Because even though we can't see him like we can see one another, even though we can't reach out and touch him the way we can one another, we can't sense him necessarily in those ways. We know he's real. We know he's here. We know he loves us. So that's why we try to, with his grace, of course, with God's mm-hmm. help,
right.
Also freely given,
yeah,
to grow, to develop in our lives of faith, to grow in that relationship with him.
And can we ask him for help in that way? Say, you know,
oh yeah,
God, grow my faith, and he'll respond. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's really hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe someone we love is really sick, or we're not doing so well in school or at work, or I mean, you name it, any number of reasons that it's hard to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's a gift that's been given to us doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
Right.
But that's why we keep praying to him. And you're absolutely right, Alexandra. We can ask him, help me with this, God, please. And he's delighted to help us. You know, I have been asked a bunch of times already since I was ordained, Father, I'm finding myself doubting God. I doubt him. And, you know, that must be a sin, right? And,
good
you
question.
Know, honestly, my answer to that is, well, no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it could be if we persist in it so much, you know, because we want to, if we enjoy the mm-hmm. anger, right? That might be venially sinful. That might become a problem. But to doubt God isn't a sin. It's when we abandon him that it becomes a problem, right? But God is so great, he can take it.
Yeah.
So that's what I like to tell people, you know, go ahead and doubt him. Ask those questions,
yeah.
but ask him.
Right.
Keep
actually, doubting could be to our benefit in some ways if we're facing that, because we can then turn in prayer and say, I'm confused.
Yeah.
I don't understand this.
Yeah.
So help my unbelief and help my confusion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can actually grow in relationship.
Absolutely. It's not that we pray for doubt, but we know that when it comes, we can
right.
pray in that doubt, that our faith might be strengthened. Absolutely.
Great.
So thanks a lot, Marcelo. That's a great question.
All right. So our third question, we got from two people, the exact same question. Whoa,
This is going to be the exact same question.
One was a write-in question. And hopefully if I can get her to record it, we'll include it. But I'm going to introduce the question from a boy named Nick, and Nick is in sixth grade. So let's play that.
During the consecration, when they say, "Only say the word and my soul shall be healed," what exactly is the word?
Father Connolly, what is the word?
The word. What's the word? Give me a word, right? Word. So when we talk about the word, first and foremost, we're talking about Jesus himself,
right?
He is the word of God.
Word, capital W.
Yeah. Word up. See what I did there?
Very good.
Oh, well, when you grow up in the mean streets of Ossining, you know, that's what happens. Jesus is the word, okay? He's the word of God, that God speaks to us in Jesus. And, that's a little more, not abstract, but that's a little more theoretical, a little more broad. Practically, what's the word in this case? You're asking, right, about in Mass, we say, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed." Well, what word is that? It comes to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 8. Jesus is approached by a centurion. Mm-hmm. So first of all, this is really radical.
Right, because he's a Roman. He's not a Jew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, the Jews, especially those who are following Jesus, but even those who are opposing him, just the whole situation, it's causing an uproar and it's causing problems. And the Roman government doesn't want to deal with that. It's just a nuisance to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
On that very basic level, this is really radical that a centurion is going to Jesus. But even more radical is that he's going to him in faith, right? He's going to him in such faith that who should just be, you know, this crazy, out of his mind person, this carpenter who all of a sudden is having delusions of grandeur and somehow getting these people to follow him. No, the centurion sees the truth. This is God. This is the Son of God. Amazing. So he approaches him. And let's just read this. He says in Matthew chapter 8, okay, starting at verse 5. "As he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, begging him and saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home in terrible distress.' And he said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' But the centurion answered him, 'Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to no one, go. I say to one, rather, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard him, he marveled and said to those who followed him, 'Truly I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and sit at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, and there men will weep and gnash their teeth.' And to the centurion Jesus said, 'Go, let it be done for you as you have believed.' And the servant was healed at that very moment." Wow. So he didn't even have to be in the room. Right. And this isn't the only place we see this. Also in the Gospels, right? This story of Jairus, who his daughter is sick, right? A similar story. He doesn't even have to be in the room. So great is the power of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But that power sort of activated, if you will, by faith.
Right.
Now, does Jesus need our faith in order to be
No.
Almighty? No, of course not. He's God. He can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. But he's always responding to faith in these miracles, right? So the centurion saying, heal my servant, calling him Lord, that's an act of faith.
It would have been crazy for him to say that too, right?
Yeah.
Because he's a soldier and there's only one person who is Lord, really, right, to the Romans.
Right. So here he is proclaiming his faith, saying, Jesus, I know you can heal him.
Mm-hmm.
Please heal my servant. And when Jesus says, oh, okay, sure, you know.
That's the word, really, right?
Yeah,
sure.
That's that word, yes. He says, yes, I will it. I mm-hmm. want to heal him. Let him be healed. So when he says, yeah, okay, sure, you know, I'll call an Uber and we'll go to your house. And no, I don't think they had Ubers. Maybe they had like camels with the
donkeys,
word Uber
perhaps.
Written on them. But no, he says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should even enter under my roof. You can't even come into my house, Lord. That's how unworthy I am.
Mm-hmm.
Even stronger faith now.
Mm-hmm.
This must be God. And I can't have, I'm not worthy to have God in my home. So what does he do? He responds to that faith and he heals him right where he is. He says, go, your servant's healed.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So that word, what's the word? Well,
what's the word?
The word is yes. The word is love. The word is I will it. Mm-hmm. I love you and I will it. I heal your servant. And he heals all of us who express that faith.
Right.
I also think of the story of the paralytic who's brought into Peter's mother-in-law's
house. You
love
the story.
I do. Did I talk about it last time?
You did.
Yeah.
Opening the roof and letting him in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. I really do. Look at the faith that those men had, whose friend was paralyzed. Jesus healed him on behalf of their faith.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking a lot today about faith, right? And that's why I bring it up, just because it's our faith that moves God to give us that word, that mm-hmm. word being, yes, I love you, I heal you, I forgive you your sins. And that's what we pray at Mass, right? Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. I remember being a kid and hearing that, and I always thought of the roof of my mouth, right? I'm about
oh, yeah.
to receive Holy Communion literally into my mouth. I'm not worthy that he should come under that roof and in a very literal and physical way. But it's true, right? We're not worthy. And yet, he comes to us mm-hmm. nonetheless.
Now, I'm older than you. So I was actually an adult when they made this change. So I remember not saying this. Okay. So I actually appreciate this response more. And I think because I'm an adult, I kind of understood it a little bit.
I am too.
A little bit quicker. You're an adult now. Questionable.
<No.
laughs> I actually feel like this is a little bit, I don't know, as a response, it requires more of my mental thought, I guess. Mm. I don't know. It makes me think more. Right before communion.
Right. It's not so automatic.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my little two cents.
Well, that's great. And just to be clear, I wasn't a little kid. Okay. I'm a grown up. Anyway. Well, listen, that's
sometimes.
A great question. And that's the word. We pray to hear that word every day, that yes from God, that he will enter into our lives unworthy as we are. We know that, as long as we're approaching him in faith, right, we know that he'll always say yes to us.
Absolutely. So should we wrap up?
I think so.
Three great questions today.
Yeah, all about faith, helping us to grow in our faith.
Okay, so if you guys have further questions for us, feel free to send them to us. And again, just as a reminder, or if you're new to us, the easiest way is to record a voice memo. You can use a phone, you can use a laptop, whatever you have access to. So use the voice memo app on your phone and then email us at raisingsaintspodcast@gmail.com. And if you're a little bit more shy and you would prefer to email us a question, you could just type it up as well. So either of those options, and we hope to hear from you soon.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. I hope this episode has helped you to grow in your faith. I know it certainly helped me. Got a lot to think about and a lot to bring to prayer. So thanks, and look forward to next time.